there are several things that I feel like I'm not up in front of you enough, and I want to just sort of thank you for personally for just showering us literally at our baby shower a couple weeks ago, as Amanda and I have had an opportunity to go through and just read cards and to try to put things in its place. There was a lot to put in its place, and that was because of your thoughtfulness, because of your love, because of your generosity for, you know, Amanda and I, as we get closer and closer to that day of our baby Livingston joining us. So we're really excited about that, and we really thank you for making that day special and being a part of that and sharing that with us. I also want to say, you know, as a youth and family minister here at Sunset, it is a tremendous blessing. It's a tremendous joy that it is to work with the youth and the families of this congregation. And this last weekend, or a week ago today, we had our Thin Ice retreat. And as I told our kids that Saturday night, that Thin Ice retreat is one of the times that I look forward to the most out of the year. As great as camp is in the summertime, and as great as YOU is in early January, and as great as lock-ins can be, there's nothing that becomes as special to me as when we have an opportunity to hear back from our youth, things that they have thought about themselves and directions that they would like to go. This year, our theme was based upon a compass, and it was from John 14, chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus says, he responds and answers, and he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And as Jesus being the way and finding our direction from him, our kids responded by the way in which they need to be guided by him in their life, and encouragements that they needed to give in that respect. And I was just, I'm always so excited about that time. And I'm always, I can just not keep myself from smiling the entire time. Even when those things that they're sharing are kind of emotional, are kind of deep. But that to me just symbolizes just how much God is working within their lives, that God is working within this youth program, within this church, and impacting the lives of young people, and especially through our families and through our parents. And so being able to see that I just can give glory to God for what he's doing in people's lives, and especially amongst the lives of our young people. But that's an intro, I guess, to tonight's lesson. As we've been studying at the end of Galatians chapter 5, we've been studying all about the fruit of the Spirit. And this week is kindness. And when you think of kindness, you may think of a numerous, you know, your vocabulary of words, of similarities that you think of when you think of kindness. For me, that's really difficult. I think of nice. Be nice. Be nice to your friends. Be nice to your brother. Be nice. That's all I could think of. And as we think about kindness tonight, this fruit of the Spirit of being kindness, you know, it poses the question, you know, if Christianity is all about loving our neighbor, is all about embodying this type of kindness, then shouldn't the world be able to tell? I mean, shouldn't it? Shouldn't we be impacting the world just solely with this part, with our kindness? I mean, aren't we kinder? Well, maybe we struggle with that. Maybe there's other things. But it made me think of a movie. It made me think of that movie back in about 2000. So I guess 14, 15 years ago now. But there was a movie about a 12-year-old boy. And he's troubled by his mother's alcoholism and his fears about his abusive father and absent father. And he gets caught up in an assignment by his social studies teacher. And the assignment was to think of something that can change the world and put it into action. And if you remember that movie, you're thinking of Pay It Forward. And that boy conjures up the notion to pay back, not pay back those good things that were done, but to pay forward. Repay those good deeds, not with payback, but with new good deeds done to three new people. The boy's efforts to make this good, to make good on this idea, bring a revolution not only to his lives, to his mother, and even to his scared teacher, but even to an ever widening group of people that were unknown to him. Now, that seems a little bit Hollywood, and yeah, it was a movie. But we can't help but think of that's the kind of impact that our kindness should have. You know, kindness is a quality. But it's more than a quality. It seems like it's a behavior. But it's more than a behavior. It seems like it's our attitude as well. Maybe it's that it's being friendly, generous, considerate, nice, to be respectful, polite. But it seems that being kind is so much more than that. It carries with it this element of being so genuine. And when you see this act of kindness, or when you see or you receive kindness, you know in that moment that it's genuine, because there's no ulterior motives. There's nothing, there's no ill will, there's no hostility, there's no hatred, there's no selfishness in it. It is just kindness. I mean, it's a part of love. And it's an important part of love. I mean, Paul uses this word, and the root of this word that he uses here in Galatians is also found in 1 Corinthians 13, where it's that chapter on love, where he says, love is patient, love is kind. It's that root. That it's interesting that they're both listed in both of those places. How integral and how important that both of these are listed together. Love is patient, love is kind. It says that in 1 Corinthians, here in our list in Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Patience and kindness kind of going hand in hand. So when kindness arrives, in that moment of kindness, there is no judgment, no ill will, no hatred, no motives, no harshness, no cruelty, no thoughtlessness, no selfishness. When kindness arrives, it arrives with such purity that it is gentle. It is decent. It comes with affection. It comes with sympathy. It comes with tenderness and courtesy. It comes with sweetness and graciousness. It comes with such hospitality. It comes with such understanding. I mean, this is the kindness. This is the kindness that comes from God. And this is the kindness that was first shown to us, wasn't it? Turn with me over to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. He gives us this contrast right at the beginning of chapter 3. He says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show humility towards all men. I mean, that's a good list of what it is to be kind, right there. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. And that sort of symbolizes right there this contrast between what God wants us to be and what we were. And hopefully what we're trying to be now. And this is that encouragement to try to be what we are now. And he continues and he says in verse 4, he says, but when the kindness, and that's the same word that Paul uses in Galatians, but when the kindness and the love of God our Father appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. He is the one who first showed us kindness. He is the one who first loved us. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Speaking of God and of God's great love, he says, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So all this fullness, all of this good, all of this love that is expressed to each of us and for the generations to come, it happens through Christ. God's kindness appears in that form. So when we think about where our kindness comes from, when we think about the effects of God's kindness upon us, our kindness is the after effect of God working in us. Then that kindness starts by working in our hearts. Over in Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6 in verses 43 through 45, in Luke's Sermon on the Plain, so it were, verse 43 of Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. From out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. That's what I was taught from a very young age. But as important as that is, this is speaking to, well, if you're not having something good to say, it's probably because there's nothing good that's flowing up out of your heart. And kindness is one of these elements that needs to be coming out of our heart. It needs to be right there, because are we saying kind things about people? Are we talking about good things about what good people have done? Or are we going out of our way to talk bad about someone? You know, reminds us of Joe's lesson right after the first of the year, with those trying to go for a week without slandering someone, without saying something bad about someone. This is that part of, we speak to kindness coming up out of the heart, because as soon as it comes out of the heart, it reaches our lips, comes off of our tongue. And if we're going to be kind, if we're going to be kind outwardly, if we're going to have the kindness of God, if we're going to have the fruit of the Spirit of kindness within our lives, then it needs to be coming out of our heart. It needs to be coming off of our lips, off of our tongue. There needs to be kindness there. Good things about what God is doing in people's lives, or encouragements that you can give, admonishments that you can give. But if it's just that lip service and there's no kindness to follow it, well, that's not really that good either. In Matthew 23, we find Jesus laying into the Pharisees, because outwardly they had this appearance of being good, of looking the right way, of saying the right things, But they didn't ever follow that through. And I think that they're missing the element that we're talking about tonight. Matthew 23, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move it. And when you read down through what the Pharisees were doing and you see all of Jesus' examples of how they were treating people, you see that the main element that they were missing was kindness. Where was their gentleness? Where was their affection? Where was their sympathy? Where was their understanding? Where was their hospitality? Where was their courtesy? Where was their tenderness? This is why Jesus lashes out at the Pharisees. Because they didn't have any. They didn't have any kindness. They didn't treat people with kindness. I mean, this is why Jesus gave us the golden rule, isn't it? I mean, that's kind of what we pull out at the end of Matthew chapter 7, or sort of right in the middle of Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Treat others as though you would like to be treated. Do to others what you would have them do to you. This is why we have the golden rule, right? We want to be treated kindly. We want to be treated with gentleness and understanding. We want to be treated with sympathy and graciousness. We want to be treated with hospitality. Or do you want to be treated with hostility, with meanness, with cruelty, with selfishness? That's not it at all. You know, the golden rule, it encourages us to speak kindly, to be understanding. It encourages us to share. It encourages us to be nice, as our parents told us, be nice. But as we look and we see that this kindness comes from God, and this kindness, you know, begins in our heart. But this is a fruit. This is a fruit of the Spirit, and it must be multiplying in our lives. This is what Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Second Peter 1, verse 8. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 5. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And this is it in verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Possess these and are increasing. We're to multiply our kindness. You are to multiply your kindness. I mean, Jesus tells us in John 15, verse 5, He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We want to bear fruit. We want to multiply our kindness. And so does this mean that we need to multiply our random acts of kindness? Yes, but you don't have to be random. Does it mean that you need to pay it forward? Yes. But does it need to be just like the movie? No. Does it mean that we need to pack a second sack lunch and give it to somebody? Well, maybe. Does it mean that We need to visit family with the sole purpose of just being kind, of just being understanding, of just offering encouragement, of just offering prayer. Does it mean that we should visit a widow or a church member? Does it mean that we need to offer to pray for anyone that we come in contact with, who you see is struggling? Find ways to multiply your kindness. And I want you to think about three areas of multiplying your kindness. I want you to think about inside. Inside, and you may say inside your circle, or just inside, you know, your, and that's going to be your family, your wife, your kids, your parents, your grandparents. It's going to include your extended family, your church family, those who are inside this building. Think inside, people that you're inside. And think about ways that you can be kinder. And you might say, well, I see them every day. They know that I love them. They know that I care about them. They know that I would do anything for them. Yeah, they do know that. But tell them. Show them. Give them that hug of affirmation. Give them those words of encouragement. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Tell them the good that you see them doing. Tell them how proud you are of them. Multiply your kindness. Inside is one. The second area would be outside. These are going to be people that maybe are your coworkers, maybe your neighbors, maybe it's just some guy on the street or someone that you run into at the grocery store or the convenience store, or maybe it's the waitress who serves you breakfast. Think about those individuals and think about ways in which you can offer kindness to them. Doesn't need to be every time you see them, but it can still be special. It can still be significant. It can still be impactful. Maybe it's a prayer for them. Maybe it's asking them if there's anything that you can pray for them. Maybe it's asking them if they have any needs. Maybe it's complimenting them or thanking them for the hard work that they do, or for, you know, always being helpful in the neighborhood, or for, you know, always, you know, picking up stuff around your house or whatever. Look for ways to be kind and to share that. Areas of kindness, those that are inside, those that are outside. And then there's one that we don't want to overlook in kindness, and that's to thank God for His kindness. Because one of those things that happens is that so many times kindness, we're the recipient of kindness. We're the recipient of someone else's kindness, of someone else's selflessness, of their hospitality, of their warmth, of their encouragement. We receive that. And are we just going to receive? Are we just going to be a receiver? For some of us, we may not have the ability physically to show kindness in ways that others can. We may not have the resources around us to show kindness. But we can thank God for that. We can thank God for them. We can praise God for the good that He is doing and that you're receiving in your life because of them. And that is a tremendous light that we get to be. As a recipient of kindness, we can give glory to God for all of the good that He is doing and all of the kind things that He is doing and that we are recipients of from His Son, from His gift. All that's made available. So as you think about this week, and as you return to your jobs and you're thinking about the little extra that you have of maybe that's a little extra change in your pocket, or how you can bless someone else, or how you can be kind, or who you can love on or hug, or who you can encourage, or who you can pray for. Think about those who are inside. Think about those that are outside. And don't ever forget the kindness that God has shown you. If you have any needs tonight, won't you come while we stand and sing?